What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Heroes for Sale podcast. This is episode 15. I am your host, Adam. You can find me on Instagram at Heroes for Sale. You can also find me on Twitter at A Palmer Media, and you can go to find me on LinkedIn if you just search Adam Palmer. I have red hair, and you can find me there. And that kind of leads me into actually the first segment of today's podcast. I'm going to talk about two platforms for content creation that I think if you follow Gary Vee, you obviously have heard of these two places because that's all he's talking about for over the past few months. But, you know, I have been creating content on the two platforms for LinkedIn. I've been creating it for like 2 or 3 months. And then on TikTok, I kind of been in, on and off the platform a little bit. But, you know, I've been using the platform actually since last October. And, you know, usually when I say stuff like that, I like to be like, oh, I hate to be that guy that says that, oh, I found TikTok in October and I've been on it. But, like, I don't know, whatever. I like seeing stuff sometimes before maybe other people see it. But whatever. So here on the LinkedIn. So, you know, I think also just for this first segment, there's not going to be as much card content as there usually is, but I have been using LinkedIn as a content platform where I have talked about cards a little bit. It's kind of more, for me at least, here's what I've been doing. So I'm into marketing and like sports marketing and business and stuff. So what I've been doing is whenever I see something that I think is interesting or that I like that either a team is doing or I see like a partnership somewhere in marketing that I think is interesting, you know, I'm making the posts for LinkedIn because LinkedIn, for some people, I think right now it's still more of a business and job board platform, but I think what could happen is that you could see more people going on to LinkedIn to make more content. I mean, I am. And I think one of the main things with LinkedIn that makes that platform different than other platforms is like, so you can create content, but when you like content, when you like a post on LinkedIn, it then becomes one of your pieces of content, if that makes sense. Like, if anybody's on LinkedIn, you'll see that like random posts will be liked by people that are your connections, and then that'll show up in your feed based off of something that someone else liked. And like one thing is you don't see as many people, you know, I wouldn't say there aren't as many people liking content on LinkedIn, but I think people, if you are liking a piece of content, you're sort of endorsing the person or the concept or the idea that that content is about. And with the organic reach, it's basically, I wouldn't say it's at like 100% because, you know, not everybody that you're connected with is using LinkedIn on a daily basis. But I would say like for the people that are using LinkedIn on a daily basis, that you're seeing almost 100% organic reach on it. And it's probably not 100, you know, I'm not 100%. I don't know for a fact that it's that how high the number actually is, but like I've seen even posts that have gotten zero likes on them still get over 100, 200 views, which means that people that I'm connected with that I have friend requested sort of, cause it's like Facebook. I mean, you only are, it's not like Instagram really where you, it's basically like having a private Instagram, essentially. Like, you have to connect with someone and they have to accept your connection. So the people maybe that are seeing your content on LinkedIn all the time are people that are just using the platform more often. And so one thing that it's sort of, you know, it's kind of a hack. It's sort of a little secret that I think seems pretty obvious, but I don't, maybe people don't see it as obvious if you're not on the platform. So like one thing that I've done that's helped virality of some of my posts on LinkedIn is that I've actually thought beforehand, if I see a piece of content that I like that I want to repost that I know is a sports team, I'll go to the sports team, the people who work for that sports team, and I'll try and connect with some of them. Because most of the time, like if you see, if this people, if you connect with these people like I mean, I'm just going to use the exact example that I use. So like the Minnesota Vikings, I had a post about their Instagram, which if you also follow me on Instagram, you see me post some of their stuff. They had an awesome theme that they had going with like, I don't think they call it like the beer sign letters. I think it was like the glowing sign letters. That's how I would call it, I guess, because I don't know if they call it the beer sign letters, but that's sort of what it was like. It was like the neon glowing letters. But over on Thursday when they were playing on primetime, their whole theme was using that type of font. So like I had already been connected with some people from the Minnesota Vikings, and I'd seen even, you know, people that weren't part of the Minnesota Vikings that liked the post. So hypothetically, I think there may be some agreeance behind that the Minnesota Vikings have good content. And, you know, like the very first one I did, I think I hadn't initially meant to do it, but like when I posted about the Vikings and then someone from the Vikings liked it, and then I connected with them, and then because they liked it, a few other people from the Vikings liked it. And I did that with, there was another post that I did it with. I think it was the Detroit Pistons. I think I posted about how Joe Johnson was playing in the Big Three this last summer, and now he's playing for the Pistons, which this has got to be the first time that's ever happened. So that's kind of interesting that he was the captain of his Big Three team, and the Big Three team won the championship, and now he's on an NBA roster, which I don't know if that was weird to me. That was pretty crazy. But so with LinkedIn, the reason that I think people that make content on there pretty consistently, I think you'll see good return. Like I don't particularly like likes and shares. I guess you can gauge that as a successful post, but it's not really about that. It's more about, like, for me at least, it's more about kind of gaining more knowledge about sports and business and marketing in general. And that's just the content being shared is more of like a byproduct rather than what I'm looking to do, I guess, because like if I'm seeing, the thing is like if I see content, I don't know how to say this without sounding pretentious. So I see the content differently than I think maybe a consumer does, because I'm looking at it from a marketer's perspective, and I'm looking at it as someone who potentially could use the concept that company or sport or team used in their overall concept for theirs. If that makes sense. So that's kind of my thoughts on LinkedIn and why I think it's like a huge content platform that I don't think people really even think as a content platform. And why, like, if you're looking for, with Instagram, basically, I've noticed myself, like, it's just brutal at this point. Like, you're getting so many ads, the likes on content is just down, and I think it's across the board pretty much down. Like, you know, I'm growing pretty consistently with followers, but likes is just not growing at all. And like I said, I'm not particularly into using statistics like that as how well I think I'm doing on there, because like that's not really what I'm trying to do. Like it's a byproduct of the successful stuff that's going on there, essentially. And like you're seeing posts and stuff on there based off of what other people are liking, and you know that's how people are seeing the content. So like on there, it's just I'm looking for other alternatives to creating content that isn't just Instagram, because of what I've seen, at least with my posts, is how much lower the engagement has been over just even the past like month. The other platform that I wanted to go over on today's episode was TikTok. And if you know, if you follow Gary Vee, you've obviously heard of him talking about LinkedIn and TikTok. And I had mentioned previously on the episode I was using it in October. You know, I saw a lot of YouTubers who were making they were making those like TikTok videos, but like they were like cringe TikTok videos. But I don't know if, see, the thing that was happening was like the first few I was like, oh my god, this is so crazy. But then like I started to like enjoy the videos they were putting into the content. I was like, this is kind of interesting. So I downloaded the app, and I wouldn't say within the first 30 seconds I used the app that I was addicted to it, but like within the first few weeks, it was like I was back using Vine again. And immediately I recognized it had so much of the same, same qualities that Vine had, where it was just like ridiculous, weird videos were like the most popular videos on the platform. Like you'll see just, there was this video and any, you know, there's like a meme going around that's like only OGs will remember this. And I almost said that, but I'm going to acknowledge that it's a meme before I say it. But like, in like October, there was this video of this, and I'm going to explain the video, and it's literally not going to make any sense, I think, to anyone who has never seen the video. And I went back to find it, and it got taken down. But it was like this kid, and he was just like, nice, now I have these pennies. I can finally keep these pennies myself. And then someone was just like, I smell pennies. And then some guy ran at him wearing a mask. And like, if you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you've heard the audio, but like, I saw this video and I was just mind blown. I was like, this is hilarious. And that from like October is when I just started using. I started telling people, it's like, you got to get TikTok. And they're like, isn't that that weird app that like, there's like teenagers doing like lip syncing? And I was like, well, yes, there is. They are still on there doing that, but more, it's, there's also content like there was from Vine. And it's a Chinese company that bought Musical.ly. So it's originally Musical.ly. And now it's TikTok. But so I've been using this, and the main see, the thing that's weird, not weird, the thing that's interesting about TikTok that I think there's probably only a few more, there's probably only a few more months of this feed being the way that it is, because it's such an explore oriented platform. And like, because basically, I would say it's 75% content of people that I haven't seen before, and then 25% of people that I have seen before. So like, you can follow 100 people and only see if each of those 100 people posted a piece of content that onto their platform or whatever, you may only see, like, if you watched 100 videos, you may only see 25 of those videos. Because, and I don't know what the exact number is, I was just kind of making it up based off of how much I've used it and how much new content I'm seeing all the time. And even when you like a post, it's not like LinkedIn where if you like it, it then becomes onto your feed. Like with Vine, you could revine something or you could like a video. But TikTok, you can like duet a video, which means you can like make a video with the other person. So, you know, it's the thing about TikTok is you're going to go on there and you're going to see a lot of weird stuff. And that's something that people are going to be like, I don't like this. You know, I think Vine was like my favorite app because it just had ridiculous, crazy videos. And that's what TikTok has. And I think so for some people, they just don't like it. So I think you're looking at two spectrums of content creation that I just don't know if there's, like, if you listen to Gary Vee, he says he's seen places like this do the content this way, and that, but the organic reach, where you don't have to pay any money. Like, I don't even think TikTok has an ad platform. Like, there are ads, but like, you get one at the beginning when you open up the app, and then maybe if you're spending an hour on there, you're getting one to two ads. Like with Instagram, I've noticed I'm getting, if I'm scrolling for 15 minutes, like, I'm getting half of the time, it seems like I'm getting ads on there. Like, you can scroll and it seems like it's almost one ad for every five posts. And that is because now it's become more of a marketing platform than it has like a social media platform, if that makes sense. Like when I originally was using Instagram, I was only using it back in like, I mean, I think I got it when I was in high school, maybe. So I was probably, that was probably 2011 or 2012. I was just posting pictures of random things. And like on the feed, I was looking and I go back and I'm like, what was I even doing then? It was just random stuff I was just posting. And then I got into college and I still was posting random stuff. But then once I got out of college, that's when I started, I got a marketing job somewhere and they kind of twisted the way that I thought about Instagram into making it into more of a content platform. Like on my other feed or whatever, I was posting like design stuff, but it wasn't like marketing oriented. Like I wasn't using hashtags. I didn't know how to use the platform correctly, basically. So that's where I made the switch sort of to making content on Instagram. And like for like 2 years, I made the content and it was like, eventually, basically, you got to the point where if you were posting every day and you were consistent, you were going, not viral, but like your posts were getting on the Explore page almost every single time. Like I was making MBA designs and I was doing it pretty consistently. And I found that like, it was crazy how often I was getting 200 to 300 likes on a post with only having like 1,000 followers, 1,500, 2,000 followers. And it was like, I could basically post at a certain time and almost guarantee that I knew it was going to be like 300, 400, 500 likes. And now it's like, I'm posting 3 to 4 times a day. Recently, actually, I've been a little bit busy at work, so I haven't had as much time to post outside of work because I've just been so, not drained, but like I had just finished up 3 huge projects, so I haven't been posting. But like back a couple weeks ago, I was doing 3, 4, even 5 posts sometimes a day. And you know, so they were only getting 30, 40, 50 likes. So like you can go to TikTok, and I posted some stuff on TikTok. I've started kind of clipping some of the audio and making it into video content from this podcast and like getting 30, 40 likes, even though I only have 30 to 40 followers. Like the explorability, I guess, if that's even, I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to use it anyways. Like it's, TikTok is basically Vine meets the Instagram Explore page, but like the main feed is the Instagram Explore page, if that makes sense. And that's why, you know, if you're making content, you want to make video content. Like, obviously, if you don't want to make video content, if you have a podcast, like, I'd suggest figuring out how to use, like, Premiere or After Effects and maybe cutting those videos together and making some sort of video for TikTok. But, like, either LinkedIn or TikTok are two, like, not even emerging. Like, they have the audience there, and you can make content that's going to do better than Instagram, potentially. Now to get into some actual card content, since I just ranted about TikTok and LinkedIn for however long. Maybe you saw one of my posts that I had. Actually, I think I posted it on Saturday, if you're listening to this on the Sunday when I'm recording. But it was about the red and silver pricing of cards, PSA 10s. And I posted one, and PWCC, you know, I don't know how I feel about them. It's whatever. I try and avoid using their comps as comps when I'm doing stuff, but you know, they had two cards that sold one after another, and it was, one was a silver that sold for $570, and then there was a red, these are both PSA 10 Lukas also, and one red that sold for $522. So that's something that I have been seeing. As I've been doing more research on the 2018 rookies, like in the last episode, I had mentioned that I started a spreadsheet where I was analyzing data analytics with volume and PSA volume and how many PSA 10s there were of all this stuff. And I just don't see, you know, I was thinking about it and I can't figure out, there's two sides of this here. So the first side is like, I've been thinking that if I'm looking at the data of something and I can't figure out why something is a certain way, there's two minds of kind of thought that I have here. There's two ways of thinking. It's either I don't know some sort of nuance within the card market that I'm missing. Like with this specifically, I know that there are like red ice cards and there's red ruby cards and there's red wave cards that I don't remember. I don't know if they're all numbered or not, but like if you're looking for a Luka Doncic red, like you type that in, you're getting, oh, and then there's also the red, white, and blue cards that if you type in red, they're going to come up. So like they don't sell as often, the red specifically, the red prisms. So, you know, maybe people don't know how to price them, but like, they're numbered to $299, and the Luka Silvers, there's over 1,000 PSA 10s. So my line of thinking is like, if I can't figure something out of why something is a certain price compared to another price, then I think it probably is a good buy. And I don't even think that this is really like, there's a lot of data for this one, so I don't even really think that this is that hot of a take that the reds are a better buy, because you know, you have 200, there's only 299 reds that are made of a certain card total, then not all of them are going to get 10, so like you figure 80%, I don't know, whatever the gem rate of the Lukas is around 80%, so you figure if it's 80% for the reds hypothetically, that means you have like 250, like a little bit less than 250. You're only having 250 reds that are going to get PSA 10s, and there's over 1,000 silvers. And if they're the same price, like, that doesn't make any sense. And I had one of the followers posted, said, like, they were confused because they thought there was, like, some secret meeting that they didn't know about. And I thought that was actually a really funny comment. AZ Collector 22, because he was talking about how he had an Aiton card that was an RPA and it was numbered, but he was saying that he couldn't figure out either why he... Yeah, they couldn't figure out why the silvers were the same price. And, you know, I thought it was the same thing. So here, my two lines of thinking here are basically, I'm either missing something, I'm either missing a nuance that would give someone a reason why they would want a silver over a red, that's like the supply is way less over the supply that isn't controlled, first of all, and then second of all, it could potentially be unlimited. Like, we don't know for a fact how many of the silvers have been printed, right? You know, I was reading an article and I'm keep looking for it and I can't find it. So if any of my followers know of this article, I saw it on the Blowout forums of somebody actually did break down, like he did like a huge breakdown of all of the silvers and how they have gone up. And I don't remember how they calculated it and I can't find the article. So if anybody knows where this article is and can send it to me, like, that would be awesome, because I keep referring to this article and like I can't find it anywhere. Like, I saw it one time and now I can't find it. But like, the numbers that they were pulling were saying that from 2017 to 18 and then 18 to 19, it was almost like an 80% increase in total silvers that they were projecting that were into this product. And, you know, if that has anything to do, if that percentage goes up another 80% or goes up 50% or goes up 100%, because, like, this year's Prism product is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be the most... It's probably the most anticipated product. I haven't been in the market long enough to say it's the most anticipated product in the past few years, but, like, at least from the past year, like, it seems like it's going to be the most anticipated product in quite some time. Like, I think you're going to see, like, maybe... it's definitely going to be more anticipated than any baseball product, any football product. And, like... I just see this Prism, if there's a huge increase again, like, I just don't know, like, so the thing that's going to be crazy is when the first few Zion PSA 10s come out, like, now, at this point next year, are we going to see over 10,000 Zion PSA 10? Because there's no way that anybody that's getting a Zion isn't going to be putting it in to get graded. Like, I just can't see someone rationally thinking that it would be a good idea to get a Zion and not sell it, or then to get it graded because of what's happened with Luka, and what all of his cards did, basically. And the other basketball kind of topic that I want to go over is the fact that I don't know how I feel about this year's designs for Prism. So, obviously, we haven't seen any physical Prism for basketball yet. We won't probably see that until December, but I think it comes out December 4th. But when this past week, the first off the line Prism football boxes got released and the designs came out, and I think they just tried to do a little bit too much with this design. Like, I think last year they had, like, a lot of good shaping of the design and kind of elements had, like, nice spacing and stuff. And then even, I think, 2016, like, had one... Actually, let me just go back. So then 2018 had a really good design. I think the Lukas and the Trays, and you're going to see a lot of really good designed cards from that 2018 Prism, because they're all the same, so they're going to be the same design. But then 2017-18, so that was like Lonzo Ball and Jason Tatum. Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum. You know, that design I really liked because it was super basic. Like, they kind of kept everything all uniform throughout the design. Like, it was basic enough that, like, I think it's not like an iconic type of design, but, like, it's very simple, which is something that I really like. I do like complex designs. Like, if you're talking, like, some of the Topps baseball cards, like Inception and Inception is one of the more abstract kind of designs, and like Topps Fire, like, I like those designs, but like for base rookie cards, I think going a little bit more basic is maybe a little bit better. Like, if you go back to 2016, if we're going 2016, 2017, 2018, I would say 2016 is probably one of my favorite designs that I've seen of Prism for the past few years. Like, I think I want to probably rank all of the Prism designs since they started. And, like, luckily with Prism, there hasn't been too many years of Prism. Like, it's only been around since 2012, I believe. So, there aren't, like, hundreds of years of designs. And I think, like, with tops, like, there's so many years. But I just think with foot... And they kept football and basketball pretty similar. And I think this year they kind of really switched it up a lot. And I think... I'm just going to pull up one of the football prisms, because I know I have one in my camera roll, because I'm going to make a post about them. Let me just see, where would it be? Here it is. So, you know, I'm looking at the design. I like how the text is laid out on the bottom. I like how they have the logo centered, but then, like, the sides, like, I wish they would have just kept, instead, for, this is for football. For basketball, I've only seen the proofs of the design, so I don't know what it's going to look like, the physical cards, but, like, with these physical cards for Prism for football, you know, I wish they had not, they have, like, the swoops on the right and left bottom half of the card, and I wish they had just kind of kept that going down all the way, and then they have more swoops going behind the player in the background, and I wish they had just taken that out. I mean, I really think they had a solid design here if they had just taken out the curved angles and, like, kept it kind of straight lines, because I don't know, it just, I'm still, you know, maybe it'll grow on me. Like, I think right away the 2020 Topps design I really liked for their baseball, and I think a lot of people were like, oh, they didn't like it. Like, when I was looking, I did a couple polls and people didn't like it, but then I also was looking at comments on, like, Topps, and people didn't like it at all. But, like, this one, I don't know. It's just not exactly what I think. Like, last year, I think, was just better. And I don't really know. Obviously, it's hard. It's not really hard to compare because it's apples to apples with the design. But, like, I think if they had just taken away the swoops for football. So, I guess now we're going from basketball to football. We're talking about the football designs. If they had taken away the swoops, I think you have a more solid design here. And for basketball, like I said, we've only seen the proofs of the design, and I just think it has a lot of the same kind of aspects. It has, like, the swooping kind of designs throughout the thing, and it has, like, the curved lines throughout the background, and I just think they tried to do a little bit too much with the design, if I'm going to be honest here. And, you know, maybe once the design comes out, I'll like it, I'll see it physically, I'll be like, okay, this is cool, I like how it looks, but right now, it's just not exactly what I don't really like it that much. If I'm going to, I'm making a quick judgment right now, and maybe, like I said, maybe it'll grow on me, but I'm not a huge fan of the design, to be honest. That's going to be all for the episode today. So if you are listening to any of the old episodes, or you're listening to this episode, you probably heard the sponsor at the beginning of the episode. And not TikTok, Anchor allows you to put an Anchor ad within your podcast. So for episodes going forward, you're probably going to see that ad at the beginning. Honestly, like, it's, I wouldn't just put an ad in the podcast if I didn't think it was something that I liked. And Anchor is how you're listening to this podcast right now. I'm literally recording this podcast on my phone using Anchor. And this isn't a secondary sponsor, but, like, you're going to be seeing this Anchor ad at the beginning of all the podcasts, I think, because I also made it so that way it imported it into all of them. So, like, if you're listening to previous episodes, you're going to hear the Anchor ad. You're going to hear the Anchor ad. If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast or to support the content, you can go to my Instagram and you can click on the link in my bio that says bit.ly/support heroes for sale. That will then bring you into your eBay app. And basically what that'll do is I will get a commission from anything that you buy from eBay. It's called, like, I'm an eBay affiliate, essentially. That's what it's called. So that's where you can find, that's where you can support the podcast. I mean, honestly, like I was saying, if you're liking and commenting on posts, like, that's huge for, like, growth on Instagram. And, like, it's gotten really tough with, I don't like saying the algorithm. I'll say organic reach, because Instagram has made it so that way more ads are showing up, and that's just a fact, and it's just not, it's not like a huge deal. I'm not like angry about it. Like, they're making money the same way that I'm doing stuff to try and make money. So, like, if you're liking and commenting on the posts, like, that's huge. And I want to just thank you so much for that. We actually just reached 1,700 followers on Instagram, which has been a grind. Been about a year since I kind of really started getting back into posting the content. Like, May of last year is when the account started. And around October, I took a little bit of a break because I was working on some other stuff. And now we're back with posting pretty consistently. So, you know, all the followers, like, thank you so much for 1,700. Like, that's, I don't, like, I'll always say this, that it's not about gaining followers and about getting likes, but, like, those numbers do matter in a business kind of perspective, for, like, if we're trying to get more sponsorships or we're trying to get more people to, yeah, basically, like, sponsorships are one thing that's, I think, one reason why, you know, that stuff does matter. So, you know, if you're out there, if you want to share the podcast, that's super cool. You know, even listening to the podcast, that's helping me out. That's helping out getting more listens. So that way, sponsors, you know, super cool. If you want to share the podcast with a friend, we can double the audience. Not saying you have to, you know, I appreciate you listening. And especially if you've gotten to this point. And if you have gotten to the point where you're listening to this and you've heard me ramble on about basically nothing for the past 3.5 minutes on the outro of this episode, you know, thanks. That's gonna be it for the episode. And Heroes for Sale on Instagram, Adam Palmer on LinkedIn, Heroes for Sale on TikTok. You're gonna start seeing me kind of promoting that as well, because I'm gonna be posting clips from the show on there. And then also A Palmer Media on Instagram and Twitter. So if you want to find me there, feel free, you know, if you want to send me a DM because you have a question about some card stuff or just want to kind of go over, talk about card stuff in general, I'm always down to talk card stuff. So I will see everybody on the next episode. Have a good one.